chapter 28. And it shall come to pass if. Everybody read that. And it shall come to pass if. Circle that if. That's a big thing. How many are waiting for something to come to pass? You're waiting for something to happen? Well, just because you're waiting for it doesn't mean it's going to happen. Right? There's an if there. And that's what people need to know. That there's if and conditions to the promises of God. It says, and it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if, say blessings, will come on me and overtake me if. People always wonder, why am I blessed? What about me? I'm doing all this and I'm doing all that. It's a good thing to know that there's something out there for you. And you can have God's best if you want God's best. Isn't that nice to know those things? If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessings are covenant promises. I like that. I like it that God is true. Blessings are covenant promises. The word is important. Anybody in this thing for the long haul? I look around and I look at my life. I've got to be real. God's decided already that we should be blessed. Amen. That we should have the best and not the less. He said, I'll bless you above all the nations of the earth. That is God's intent for your life. Do you know that word blessing, above all the nations of the earth? It basically means supremacy. I know that sounds really crazy. We don't like to hear that. But God wants to put you on top and not on the bottom. He wants to bring his people out. We're not out completely yet. We're not completely out to the level that God wants us to be out. God will really take us out. If you want to get out, he'll bring you out. Guess what? I'm going to listen to him and get exactly what he wants me to have. Say, I might not have it all now, but I'm going to get it. Watch me. Watch me. Watch me. We should be blessed to the level to where, hey, look, your blessing should exceed the ways of the world, the people of the world, and the things around there. Guess what? The saints should be the richest people in the Woodlands, Texas. The most blessed. You should be driving the finest car. Why? Because God said so. If you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, guess what? All of these blessings will overtake thee. And he said, I will put you on top and not on the bottom. That's not my opinion. That's his word. That's not my opinion. And I'm not just trying to tickle your ear. I'm just talking to you to scripture. I'm just talking the word. He promised the children of Israel. He promised Abraham and Abraham's seed that they should be on the top of the pinnacle, on the top of it, the top of the food chain, and not groveling on the bottom end. So, but there's a problem because we're not on top yet. We don't own our building. How many of you got your house paid for already? One. Amen. Well, the Bible says you'll loan to many and you won't borrow. Uh-oh, is it hard to get that? No, it's not. God wants to get us to that level. It's nice that we can deal with it where it is. That's wonderful. That is wonderful that we can pay mortgages and do different things. But there is a higher level that God's called us to walk in. And if we would listen to his word, I know it sounds hard to believe. I know it sounds like a miracle, but we can get there. And I believe that from the bottom of my heart. You know, we need to handle certain things like we handle sickness and disease. Do you know you can be healed of poverty? Healed by the word? How many people have been healed of cancer, sickness, and disease? But we can be healed of poverty and lack and losing all the time. And we can turn into winners. Yes, you can. You can get up on the top again. God is for you. You can win if you want to win. If. See, many people want to blame it on God. God said, no, I gave you the blessing already, but you're not mixing the stuff with it that needs to be mixed with it to cause that stuff to happen. You can have as much as you want from God, as much as you want, but there are conditions to it. Are you going to be in trouble because you're in debt? No. You can have whatever you want to. You can be sick. You can have a cold. You can do whatever you want to. You don't have to get up out of the bed in the morning. You don't have to take a shower. You don't have to do anything. It's all up to you. And he put the ball in your court. You can live any kind of way you want to. But then don't blame God and call God a liar because you're not working your covenant. But I believe there's some people that are going to start to work this thing in this final day. I ain't got nothing else but this word. I better start to work it. Anybody out there for me? This is a message for the person that believes that God wants to do that and wants to walk in that. We're going to be studying that this morning. We need some help. And we're going to get our help. We talked to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost talked back. Yes, he did. Yes. He said, these blessings are conditional. Every blessing from God is conditional. He said, so then, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 9, they which be of faith, said, so then, they which be of what? Faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Ooh, God's going to talk us into some blessing this morning. I got some inside stuff. Are you ready to see something supernatural happen on your life? Do you know God? Don't you know you can mix yourself? Do you want God to show up? Do you want God to show up? I was talking about I was looking at the telecast this morning and looking at different ministries. I was looking at Brother Joel. I saw all the countless of people are the gifting and the anointing of God that's on there, that so many people would go to hear the word of God. I said, man, that's neat. How do they get that stuff to happen like that? God said, that's their ministry. You got one. And our ministry is, you know what he made very clear, and it was so, you know, you have to talk to the Holy Ghost, and he'll talk to you too. Ours is basically signs and wonders. We got to get there. And he said, you do what I tell you to do. When I start to manifest myself, it won't, but you can do that in 3 to 4 days. You let God become God. You let him start working the signs and wonders that he used to work. We grab a hold of our faith and start to believe God. People need to see signs and wonders. That's where revival is going to come. That's what God always used. People need to know that God is alive and that he's real. He wants to demonstrate himself. He wants to show up. That's all we've got. Putting our faith together and putting our heart together to know that Jesus Christ is alive. And he's not just a figment of our imagination. He's not just in our head. He wants to do something more than just have us talk in tongues. He wants to work signs and wonders and miracles. It's all throughout the Bible. In every generation and in every age, he's demonstrated himself and he's manifested himself. And he's always showed up as God. He's going to be God. And do you know what? God is a wonder worker. Isn't that neat? He hadn't gotten old. He hasn't retired. He's not tired. He's renewed day by day. He's still able. He's still got the same power to hold back the Red Sea. He's still got the same power that made the walls of Jericho fall down. He's still got it within him. He can still do those things. He's the same kind of God that Moses had. The things that he did for Moses, he'll do for you. What he did for Joseph, he'll do for you. He's no respecter of person. Let God be God. Let God be God. I'm serious about it. Why don't we let God just go on? You decided to believe him. Well, go on for the big haul. I mean, go on for the big stuff. You didn't believe the Bible. What character do you got? I mean, he shows off. You can't read a book in the Bible without him being God, without him showing himself strong and doing exploits. There's not one chapter in the Bible that he doesn't do something big and something supernatural. Amen. He ready to do something big and something supernatural right here in our midst. Let it happen. Watch it happen. I'm serious. Watch it happen. Watch it happen. I'm not just in here for a bunch of stuff. That'll come, amen. But I'm ready to see God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just when he comes and cracks the sky. Oh, I told you he was real. That's crazy. You're going to find out. You've been guessing all that time. Then all of a sudden he cracks the sky and we all get raptured. See, I told you Jesus was real. That's not how he intended this thing to go down. That's not what he intended this thing to go down. There has to be no excuse. He won't take down people without them seeing something. He didn't destroy the Egyptians and all those people. They saw some stuff. They weren't left guessing. He's not going to leave our nation guessing. Well, I wonder if that Jesus stuff was all real or not. No, that's not his intention. It never was his intention. We better get our stuff together. You can't witness to a nation without demonstrating God's power, his anointing. You know what? In the Bible, they said, we preach. He said, I have not come with enticing man, words of man's wisdom, but with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Whether we like it or not, there must be power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We got to do something. Get in it or get out. Get in it or get out of it. I got to be just like them. That's our lineage of faith. We've got to produce something. Wondering why the nation's going the other way. Churches are coming up. We're spending more money to build churches than we ever have. TV show after TV show. We got more television, Christian TV networks, satellite state, all this stuff. It's all nice. And I thank God for it. We've got billboards. I mean, we're working it. But all that's nice. But Jesus came with the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. He came in power. He signed his name, the Almighty God. And that's what we need. We just need one good miracle. Then we know we need after that one, another one. Then you know what we need? Another one. And another one. And we should stand for it and believe for it. Because that's what he wants to do. That's what we're called to do. You know that's what we're called to do? See, we get to the point where we say, well, God just called us to build a church. Well, he called us to build a church, but then do signs and wonders and miracles on the inside of it. We do our part. He does his part. Amen. We're cheating the nation, and we don't get our faith together. He didn't tell Moses to go lead the people out of Egypt. Sent him empty-handed. I saw this burning bush. That's not all he came with, just what he saw in and of himself. He came back with a staff. He came back with something to say, hey, look, I've seen God, and God is real. Check out this stick. And every one of us, every single person in this room should be moving in that same anointing. Watch this. You know, we've said we've been knocking on the doors of heaven. I believe that God's been scratching at the roof of the building. He can do it. He wants to. I mean, what book do we have? We're going to have to rewrite the Bible because some of the stuff that we think today doesn't match up what's written in Scripture. It would be more like God for him to just to do something. He's a do something God. I just wanted to get your faith on that level as we go on. I believe that's what's going to show up in this next millennium. I believe that's what's about to happen in this next millennium. Watch it. More than just us getting money in our pocket. That's going to happen, thank God. But God's going to show up. He says, they that which be of faith are blessed. God's looking for some people to get in faith. And I want you to know something. Faith is just not believing. That's where people get messed up and they get mixed up. God said this, I believe it. Well, that's nice. That's your belief. That's not going to do anything. It'll get you started. But it won't do anything. Even the devils believe. Did you know that? Yeah. Even the devils believe. Yeah. Even the devils believe. Inside of every, you know what? Actually, everybody kind of has a certain measure of faith put on the inside of them. Even the devils believe. It's not enough for you. All you believe that God could move that podium. You all believe that. You all believe that God can heal somebody. Some people are waiting on healings and miracles and all of these things. It's not enough just to believe it. You got to put your faith to it. That's what moves God. That's what moves God. Faith. Say, well, what is the difference? What is the difference? We must add our faith to his word. Not just our belief, but our faith to his word. I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost put on my heart. Is somebody going to get blessed by this? It's going to change my life, and it'll change your life. You grab a hold of it too. You hear his word. He said, y'all will be blessed in Deuteronomy chapter 28. He said, blessed will you be if you hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Didn't it say that from the start? We're learning how to grab a hold of the blessing. We know it's out there, but we just can't get our hand on it. And it shall come to pass if thou will hearken diligently. Notice that Deuteronomy chapter 28 is based in faith. Did you know that? it didn't say the word basically, but when you put all the steps and add in all the ingredients, he said, listen, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Listen. Hear the word. Hearken means hear. Faith comes by hearing. Hear it. Hear it. Hear it. Isn't that neat? Hear it. He said, if you'll hear. He said, if you'd hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God and observe and to do. When you hear it, faith comes by what? Hearing. You hear something until you start to do it. You hear it until you start to do something about it. And you know what? Your belief is not faith until you're doing something about it. It doesn't turn into faith until you start to do something about it. Faith moves God. You got to keep hearing it. No, it says, hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Keep listening, keep listening, keep listening. How do you know you heard it or not? When you're doing it. You haven't heard it until you're doing it. You got to do the whole of it? No, just something. You got to move something. You got to start somewhere. You want God to move on it? You got to start somewhere. Then it turns. Then your belief turns into faith. He said, if you would hear the voice of the Lord thy God with an ear to observe to do it, blessed shall you be in your body. Whoa. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Woo! Blessed bodies don't get sick. Wow! I need to hear some more of that. I need to hear some more of that. Blessed will you be in the city. Woo! That means I can be blessed in the Woodlands. I can be blessed in Houston. I can be blessed. I need to hear some more of that. Hear it. Till you observe to do it. Then all of a sudden you start hearing, and all of a sudden you start to revolutionize some of the ways you do things. You might not be able to do it all, but you just get up. And you just start to take a little step of faith, like walking to the mailbox or something, or anything. I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. Let me get up and just take one step. That's faith. That's faith. That's when you turn your believing into faith. Woo-hoo! And when you mix faith with his word, when you mix that faith with his promise, you get blessing. Blessing. Everything that he said to you, he is going to do it. He's already done it. But you've got to listen to it. Listen to it. Then you got to believe it. And then you got to get to the point to where your belief is so strong, you start to walk out in it. You believe in God going to give you a house. You believe in God going to give you a house. You didn't got a dime in your pocket. You start looking. Amen. You get out. Stop talking about it around the kitchen table. It's nice to start there, but then you just start looking. Faith. 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 Woo. God honors faith. Faith is what you do. How to grab a hold of the promises of Deuteronomy chapter 28. We might be believing these things, but are we walking in faith toward these things? To the faithful, he will show himself faithful. We must add our faith to his word, and then we will receive the promise. Hearken. Hearken. Ooh, I like that word. Something good's happening to you right now. Why? Because you're listening. That's the start. That's the start. Something's going to happen in your life. This is the start. You hear the promise. You hear the word. You just hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it, hear it. And you perceive and discern. There are waves and graces of God. Notice it said that hearken to the commandments I command you to do this day. Now we knew he was talking about the commandment that he gave them that day. But it is the same word that they used. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. That day, he says, this day means this hot opportunity. You know that this, that means? Which I command you in this hot opportunity. This is a day. This is a hot day of opportunity. The sun is up. And there are promises out there. He's speaking right now. He's telling you to do something. He's leading. He's giving you direction. And you just listen to what he's saying in that season or in that day. Discern it. He's just not going to say it on Sunday morning. He'll start here. He'll start here. We might confirm it on a Sunday morning or Friday night. You'll turn on TV. Joel will say it. And you'll call somebody on the phone. They'll say it. The Holy Ghost, he'll talk all over the place. You turn on the radio, they'll say it. I mean, he'll confirm his word. What is God trying to say to you? Are you hearing what the Holy Ghost is trying to talk to you, people? He's trying to give you a promise, but you've got to hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Are you listening to God, or are you listening to everybody else? Are you listening to your head, or are you listening to God? What is God trying to tell you? What did Mama tell you when you talked to her on the phone that morning? Can you discern what the Holy Ghost is trying to say? Discern what the Holy Ghost is trying to say to you. Hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. How are you going to get out of this? You're going to hear your way out of it. You find yourself in a bind. You find yourself in a situation. You find yourself in a mess. I'm going to say, all I got to do is hear my answer. All I got to do is hear it. Discern what the Holy Ghost. Do you know what the Holy Ghost is trying to do for you? Do you know what God is saying to you? That's your ticket. You're not going to grab a hold of any promise that you can't hear. Just reading it once or twice and getting excited about it in one service is not enough. You got to hear it down on the inside of your spirit. You got to know what God's trying to do for you. He'll say it again and again and again. His voice resounds. His voice resounds. Hey, isn't that nice? That means he'll give a promise and then it just echoes in your mind. It echoes in your heart. It echoes in your heart until you start to hear it. You're an overcomer. You're a winner. I want to prosper you. I want to bless you. But it's not happening. He's saying it, but it's not happening. I'm tired of hearing it. He keeps saying it. Why isn't it happening? Because he wants you to hear it so you would believe it. And then you start to walk in it. And as you walk in it, he calls that faith. And then it will manifest. Amen. Commandments. Commandments. Circle that word. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You have not heard a word. You have not heard a word until you're walking in obedience with it. If you're not fulfilling your end of the deal, you have not heard the word. Faith without works is dead. Faith comes by hearing. It is not faith until it is mixed with actions of obedience. Wow. You know, when God usually comes, he says, you do this, I'll do this. And it's not faith until it's mixed with action and obedience. Faith will not work in disobedience. Faith will not work in disobedience. Faith is premised by obedience. Faith is nothing but responding to what God said and doing what God told you to do and walking in the promise of God. So faith operates in obedience. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. I want you to realize this, and I hopefully I can make this clear to you. Every season has a promise, and every season has a word, and every season has a command. And as you hear that commandment or you hear that precept and you hear that covenant, God will always say, you do this, I'll do this. And as you obey the command of God for that season and you obey it, things will start to happen. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. Actually, we need to take it back a little bit farther. This is a neat little story here. 15:10. Then the word of the Lord came unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king. That word set up is a powerful word. Do you know that? Do you know that's what God's trying to do? He's trying to set you up. Yeah. Circle the word set. This is the same commandment that he said. He promised that he would set them on high above all the nations of the earth. Notice that. He said, I will set you. If you obey the voice of the Lord thy God, I will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. You want to position yourself with God. And that's what God's trying to do in you. He is trying to set you in a place. So Saul had gotten to the point to where God had set him someplace. And then it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and have not performed my commandments. He got out of faith. He didn't do what God told him to do. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Saul, Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and has gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And this is where some of us are missing it. Samuel had given Saul a commandment that God had told him to give him, right? Saul thought that he was fulfilling the commandment of God. He said, I did it. You can't do God's stuff any kind of way. Faith works in what? Obedience. Just be simple about it. Miracles take place when we obey God. Clearly, obey God, miracles will take place. Notice that the first miracle that Jesus performed, that was the water, turning the water into wine. And Mary said, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. When God's ready to work a miracle with you, you got to get in line with him and say, look, you do this, just do it, and I'll do this. Well, Saul had gotten to the point to where he thought he had done what God had told him to do. And Samuel said, what meaneth then the bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the beasts of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now notice, God didn't tell them to do that. That was a nice thing. It was a good thing, but it's not what God said to do. When God gives you a word to perform and God tells you to do something, do that. Don't add anything to it. Don't take anything from it. Do exactly what God told you to do. They altered what God said. They altered what God said. He said, destroy it all. Then they did something else. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Listen, when you're humble, God does things for you. He said, look, you had it all together when you were nothing. He said, when you were nothing, that's when I made you what you are. Don't get so smart. Don't get so proud. Don't get so big. Pride goeth before a fall. So many people think, well, I've got it all together now. I'm super spiritual. I'm king now. Now I can really roam. He said, no, listen, notice that when you didn't have that mentality, that's when you became king. But when you became something else, making your own decisions, altering what God said, you better stay as a child. Stay humble before the Lord. Whatever it took you to get where you are, stay there. Don't ever grow up. Always be a baby before Jesus. Always say, whatever you say, I'll follow you, Father. I'll follow you anywhere you want. I'm going to come to you just like a little child. Tell me, I'll obey. I'm not going to try to figure you out. I'm just going to follow you. Said, notice that when you were little, that's when you became king. You can learn something there. How many want to rule and reign as kings and priests? There's a mentality. He says, I've chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Notice that not many noble are chosen. The stone which the builders rejected has come the head of the corner. You don't have to be great. You don't have to have all that stuff. Just be obedient. And the Lord said, sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners of the Amalekites and fight against them until they be consumed. He said, consume the place. Wipe the place out. Period. Point blank. Now they were doing a nice religious thing, weren't they? They were doing a religious thing. They were having a sacrifice. I mean, they were sacrificing. That was a religious thing. Wasn't that nice? They were doing a good thing, a good old church thing. Sinning in church. They were religiously sinning because they were doing something that God didn't tell them to do. Look good. There are a whole lot of people that do things that look good. They were giving an offering. God don't need your offering. He needs your obedience. Wherefore, then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord? but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. It's evil when we presume and get presumptuous with God. We get familiar with God. God called us and got us into places unknown and set us up in some situations that only He could set us up in. Then walk there. You know, some of you are walking in holy ground. You don't even know it. God made ways for you to get into your homes, get into your car, get into relationships, get into ministry, get into all. Amen. You got to be careful. If God did something for you and He set you in a place, that's a holy place. You better reverence it as holy. Take off your shoes, for the place where you stand is holy. Your life is holy. God has set you up and He's got you exactly where He wants you to be. You have to, if you had to listen to Him to get there, you got to listen to Him to stay there. Reverence God for your life. Thank God for your life. Don't start trashing your life, criticizing your life, criticizing the circumstance and situation you are. God put that thing together for you. Come on now. God set it up. That's the place where God abides. He's not going to cause you to be in anything that He wouldn't go in Himself. Walk holy in it. The Bible says, despise not small beginnings. Well, we got to watch. Somebody say, well, we'll act right when we get 20,000 people. No, you better act right now. Ain't going to be no more holy then than it is now. When I get my $1 million, then I'll be super spiritual. No, you better be super spiritual now. Don't you despise where God's got you right now. Practice does not make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And many of you are practicing lifestyles right now and practicing things right now. And you develop habits. And think once it all, this is just because this really doesn't matter because I'm nowhere now. I don't have anything now. Nothing really matters. It's not really rolling yet. You're practicing. And what you practice will become permanent. If you really believe God's going to take you someplace else, then you start to get the faith and start to walk like you're already there. Are you understanding what I'm talking about this morning? Start to practice obedience. Practice abundance. Practice confession. Walk like it. You know, walk like what you... Well, how many of you got big promises over your life? Well, start to walk like that right now. You know, if you know that God's got something good for you, you're going to be the head. I mean, some of you got promises about businesses and companies that you're going to, your business is going to be the top. Well, you get up in the morning and you start to walk in faith like you're the head executive of a company, of a Fortune 500 company. Start to walk in faith like that. Practice makes permanent. People wonder why they can't get out of their rut because they're practicing being oppressed. They're practicing being depressed. They're practicing failure. Stop practicing that. Start to practice perfection. See, whatever God says you are, start to act like it now, and He'll call that faith and do it. Some of you got some cars. You know, you're not satisfied with your car. Get in that car like you're driving a 560 Mercedes-Benz SEL. Shut the door and lock it and walk like you just practice. Practice. Some of you dissatisfied with the way your house looks. Practice. Be faithful in the little things. God will give you much. Start washing those dishes. Practice. Practice in that little side shack. Practice by vacuuming the floor. Amen. Practice. Practice perfection. Start now. Now is what concerns you. Tomorrow will never come. Today is what matters. Practice it right now. When you go out, eat like a king today. Honor. When you hug people, when you come in the church, hug them like kings and priests. Do it now. Start to live now. Make the most of every opportunity. Practice now. Don't wait. Stop that stuff. Don't put off tomorrow what you should do today. Today is the day of salvation. Practice perfection now. Thou did evil in the sight of the Lord, and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and I brought. This is what he said. And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have. I did too do what God told me to do. I did too. There are a whole bunch of people that are just as off. They got a half word. They didn't hear it. Samuel, see, Saul's problem was he didn't hear. See, Saul could have been blessed, and instead of him being blessed, he picked up a curse. Why? Because he did not hear completely and clearly what God was trying to tell him. He presumed, oh, I got it. Yeah, no, got it. I mean, he could have just obeyed God. Hey, you better hear. He said he thought that he was doing the right thing. He thought there are a whole lot of people in gross sin thinking they got it all together. Just as off. Anybody met spiritually off people? Off, just off. Anybody met him? Half heard something. You better listen more clearly. You better listen more clearly. Listen completely, or you'll miss God. That's how the spirit of error gets in there. Then we study the spirit of error. People are off in gross error and develop theologies and different weird things because they don't listen. And you can give them scripture and give them everything else. They're so stuck and stubborn in their own way that they refuse to see the truth. Why? A lack of hearing. God is the last person you want to be around if you miss words. Take several promises, and you should practice one day. Get a Xerox and Xerox your Bible. And just get some promises of God and just start to black out certain words and get every third sentence take out and start to do that and see where you'll end up. That's how people are with their life and with God. Mishear stuff and walk in and mistruths. Some people got a hold of half the prosperity message off. Some people got off on half of the Holy Ghost and manifestation message and the wave of God, the new wine. Missed it. Off. And they think that they got it all together. Ooh, I'm right in the middle of what God is doing. You didn't hear the whole thing. You didn't hear what comes after that new wine and joy of the Holy Ghost. The part about being a witness and living holy, amen, and making a difference. Off. Hear the whole word. Maybe we should take a moment today and get to the point and say, God, did I hear the whole thing? Chances are I heard the promises was true. We definitely hear the promise clearly. We hear the end result. We see that fine. We know what color house it is, the doorknobs on it. We got all that stuff taken care of. And we've seen all of that. We've heard that whole thing. You know, you could be in a whole room and God starts talking about your blood. Shut up, everybody. Shut up, shut up, shut up. We get real quiet for that kind of stuff. But when it comes to hear the commands on how to fulfill that kind of things, we turn up the radio, hear the whole thing, so you'll be able to do the whole thing. Y'all are winners. You really are. You know, I really believe that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not just saying it out of my head. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. You know why I believe that from the bottom of my heart? The Holy Ghost told me. Wow, he did. There was a couple of nights he said, it's my intention to bless them. He said, you've got some of the best. These are people that I'm on in hot pursuit to bless and to hook up. You are a winner. You're a survivor. You can make it, and you are going to make it. Amen. There are prophetic words over you, not just spoken out of my mouth, but different people and prophets come into this area. I've been to churches all over the place and never heard some of the stuff prophesied that have been prophesied in this place about you. And that stuff's going to come to pass. Yes, it is going to come to pass. It's already starting to happen. You should be shouting already some of the contracts and deals that y'all got going. Come on. You ain't never smelled the cake burning so close to the... You ain't never smelled it so good. Amen. You know a cake is cooking. You've been around for years. You know something's cooking in the oven. So he didn't obey it. And he did all these other stuff. And this is what the Lord said unto him. This is one thing that I'm not going to let this happen. People always want to blame somebody else why they miss God. Churches want to blame, pastors want to blame God why they're not, blame church members why they're not blessed. The people. I would have done it, but them people were just so crazy. I would have done it. They just don't give no money. I would have. The people. They don't. You know what? When God tells you something, it doesn't matter. He knew those people before he sent you to do what he told you to do. Don't even go there. I would have a surviving business, but you know these woodland people, they just don't do it. The people that I'm around, just the people, don't have anything to do with it whatsoever. You believe God, you obey God. It's a God thing. It's on you. You're not going to be limited by your clients anymore. My clients won't show up on time. They don't pay the bill. I mean, I got 101 invoices out there, and they don't send it in on time. He knows that. The people. But the people. Took the spoil and the oxen, blaming. Stop blaming people. Stop blaming people while you're disobedient. You just obey God and let God work on those people that he's called you to be around. And Samuel said in verse 15 to 22. Ooh, this is a good one here. Don't blame your husband. Don't blame your wife. Don't blame your children. Don't blame your neighbors. Don't blame what mommy and daddy didn't do for you when you were 3 and 5 and 6 years old. I never went out and got a lollipop. All the kids were getting lollipops and popsicles, and I would just sit there and watch them go by. You better stop that mess. Get over it. Well, let us just go back to your childhood and dig it all up and work it all through. It's your mama. That's what it is. You can't get a job because your mama didn't cook the rice and beans. You better cut that stuff out. That's silly. Look at David's life. Look at Solomon's life. Did God ever talk to Solomon about what his daddy did? Stop it. And get up and grab a hold of the promise. And your difficulties and things that have happened in your past is not going to lessen God's promise not one iota, not one bit. The promise is bigger than the things that have happened to you in the past. You can make it anyhow. Dysfunction, child abuse, sexual abuse, any kind of abuse, the wrong paint in the dining room, anything. It's not big enough. It's not strong enough to stop what God wants to do in your life. You can have it today. And you don't got to pay a psychiatrist $100,000 a year for you to grab a hold of God's promises. Just get your head together and that will all work. There have been a lot of crazy people in the Bible that got a lot of stuff. Go on and get your stuff and stop blaming each other. You ever do it again. If only. Never once in the Bible was that ever accepted. Yeah. Never once. Aaron tried to blame the people for the calf. Don't even go there. I would get into the Holy Ghost, but you know the house is just too loud. I just can't meditate. My wife just gripes too much. I would do it. You know, I would go and get that job, but you just beat me down so much I can't do anything. Holy Ghost knew that. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the shower. Greater is he that is in you than she that's in the kitchen. Or not in the kitchen. Greater is he that is in you than he that's behind the door that says your boss. Nothing going to hold you back when you want to go on with God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the White House. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that said you can't make it because you got the wrong color skin. Be for real. Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he says you can't make because you're a woman. Get over it and you go on and get your promises from God. He took all that into consideration. Don't mean a thing. You just get your faith together and walk. God said it. He's going to do it. And Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices?" Some people are sacrificing themselves in sin. Doing a whole bunch of stuff they ain't called to do. And then blaming it on God. I help everybody. I'm carrying everybody's load. It's all on me. It's a big sacrifice. Don't you know all the things I'm sacrificing for this family that I'm holding together all by myself? What a sacrifice I'm making. Has the Lord as great a delight? Everything don't cut it. Only what God told you to do is what cuts it. You can run around the world 7 times. The prophets of Baal. Remember all the stuff they did to try to get the offering to get burnt? Cut themselves. Cut themselves. Beat themselves. Scream louder. Oh, hell. Some of us are doing that to try to get our life to work. I'll do it backwards. I'll do it forwards. I'll take the next door neighbor some soup. I'll do whatever it is to make this thing work. I'll go. Have you ever done some crazy stuff to get your stuff to work? I'll get docks and dogs in a newspaper out. God said, go on, roll with it. Woo! Go for it. Your promise will still be there when you get back. I bet you sometimes the angels in heaven just look at us and certain things we get ourselves and say, how did she get over there? Angels kicking them dachshunds out of the way to get to me. As the Lord has great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices. as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Just do what God told you to do. Behold, to obey is better. It's easier. Better. Period. Point blank. Just didn't say I like. He didn't say I like that more. That's not what people take that scripture to mean, that that's what he said. To obey is what makes me happier than sacrifice. That's not what he said. He said to obey is better. Period. It's better for everybody. You would have gotten there quicker. The way of obedience is the best way. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For a rebellion, somebody say rebellion, is the sin of witchcraft. God called all those people doing all those religious thing witches. They were sacrificing to God. And he said, look at them, witches. I didn't tell them, any of them, to do that. People that religiously do things that God didn't tell them to do, get all controlling in it, ain't nothing but witchcraft. Every little crazy little flaky thing you do, they were cutting up them rams. Slay them. I bet you someone would get touched. Hallelujah. Woo. Witchcraft. And stubbornness. Somebody say stubborn. God just lumps them all together. Witches and stubborn people. I mean, he lumps them together. A stubborn man and the witch are best friends. They hang out together. God's trying to get you to do something. God's trying to change something in you. And you just think, I'm just waiting on the Lord a little bit more. You got a little witch's cap on your head. Is the iniquity and idolatry. And because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected thee from being king. Because you didn't listen to what God was trying to tell you. God's trying to tell you something. And some of you know what God's trying to tell you. You're trying to act like he's not talking. Just because you refuse to listen doesn't mean he's not speaking. He's not going to change his mind. Because you have rejected what God was trying to tell you, he has rejected you from being king. I'm ready to live like a king. How about you? How many of you want to live like a king? Say, I want to be a king. Woo, say, I got my castle coming. Just hear what God's trying to tell you and walk in it. Why don't you stand up?
Jesus, we bless your holy name.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in The Woodlands, Texas.